Hi, fantasy readers. This is Corinne Norton, your fellow book binger, and you are listening to the Finding Fantasy Reads podcast, where you can test out a new fantasy story every single week to find your next favorite author. You'll want to stick around for today's story if you like humor, heart, and unicorns. Seriously, today's story is so much fun. It's part of the Third Name's a Charm anthology, and it's written by Alex Stubblefield. Alex is a California-based author who writes clean YA fantasy. When not writing, Alex enjoys snuggling her cats, walking her dog, tending her garden, and cooking up new recipes with her husband, Josh. Stick around to the end or check out today's show notes to see where you can find more from Alex as well as how to enter our giveaway. For now, please enjoy Lavender Locks and the Three Trolls by Alex Stubblefield. Liana's fingers were beginning to cramp as she gripped the rock face tighter, praying that she wasn't blown off by a gust of icy wind. The warming potion she had drunk was wearing off, and her stomach was starting to growl. The chill breath of the mountain whipped her luminescent purple hair around her, each gale threatening to throw her off its back. Gray's Pass was supposed to be a shortcut, but the travelers had failed to mention that the pass itself had been cut short by a recent landslide. The last 100 feet or so had to be scaled carefully, with barely a foot's width of path between her and a nasty, rocky fall. Still, she had come this far, and there was no turning back now. The violet-haired witch could see the Eagle's Nest Inn perched on the ridge just above her, so close, and yet still a little too far. Weary, she took a deep breath, then extended her right arm for the next handhold. Her soft porcelain fingers met sharp granite. Liana gasped. Scarlet bloomed on her fingertips and soon dripped down her wrist. With gritted teeth, she heaved herself another arm's length closer to her destination. There was a deep ache in her shoulders and forearms now, and her legs trembled with the effort. While Liana caught her breath clinging to that frigid cliff face, her mother's equally frigid words came back to her mind. All women must bear pain, but a sacred sorceress must bear more than her fair share. How else would her magic be purified? I thought that's what the hot springs were for, Liana had replied snarkily. Don't make light of your magic, child. Her mother's emerald glare was as sharp as her words. Those who spend all their time lounging in the hot springs grow weak as their power leaches out into the waters. Liana wished she was in the hot springs now. She was sure frostbite was setting into her toes and earlobes. Of course, she knew how to brew a healing draught, but it would take longer if she couldn't feel her fingers anymore. She had set out on her sojourn to seal her sacred power shortly after that conversation with her mother. There was no doubt that she was expected to do something truly extraordinary as the daughter of the Sorceress Sublime. However, nothing she had accomplished yet had secured her role in the Sacred Sorceresses Society. When Liana had proudly told the Sorceress Sublime that she had rid the fair weather valley of Hippolyta, the cannibalistic wood witch, Jennifer the Jade had merely said, "Good. She was a nasty nuisance." "Have I sealed my sacred power?" Liana asked. "Gems below, child. You can't seriously think that is how to seal your sacred power." The Sorceress Sublime let out a cold, callous laugh. Liana had always found the lack of humor in her mother's tone unsettling. She was eating people. How is her death not a contribution? You removed her. You did not contribute anything. Plus, you're meant to seal your sacred power on your own, and you had help in killing her. Don't think that fact escaped me. Jennifer, the jade, raised an eyebrow expectantly. I did not plan for the human to help me, Liana said, exasperated. I had to rescue him anyway, and he was quite resourceful with his crossbow. You must complete your journey on your own, and I say it is not over yet. You will know when it is. The sorceress Sublime has the final word. Liana had rolled her eyes. She hated it when her mother spoke of herself in the third person. Fine, she responded finally. What is it I need to do? Watch that tone, daughter. Jennifer the Jade sighed heavily. Someone has misplaced a valuable possession of mine. I sent some mountain trolls after it, but they are proving to be quite incompetent. I need you to retrieve the item for me. Trolls? Ugh, I hate trolls. Be that as it may, this is what you must do for me. Or you will never be a sacred sorceress, much less the sorceress Sublime. You cannot think my job is easy, can you? You cannot imagine the work I've done to get where I am. You have a long way to go, daughter. But this will get you a bit closer. Without telling Liana what it was the trolls had taken possession of, Jennifer the Jade abruptly left the conversation. Liana had little clues to go on, and she suspected that was on purpose. Her mother expected her to be clever and resourceful. The next 10 minutes on the mountain felt like an hour as Liana moved inch by excruciating inch along the ledge. By the time she reached the snowbank on the other side, her body felt battered, and she was bleeding from various scrapes and gashes on her limbs. Her movements felt stiff as she tread the last few steps up to the inn's doorway. The lodgings were sparse, but they would do well for the night. Feeling restored by the warmth of the fire in the common room, Liana decided to prepare for the day ahead of her before turning in for the night. From her pack, she took out a map and spread it out flat on the low mattress in her room. She had plotted out her route back in Hazeltown. Some fur trappers had been helpful in providing specific details about this region of the White Caps. Liana had had to fill in the rest for herself. When you are looking for things that are not supposed to exist, you must listen for what isn't said and search for places that people don't want to go. It is in these forgotten, forsaken places that the magical things of this world have retreated to. She had her destination narrowed down to a foreboding gorge that started about 2 miles east of the Eagle's Nest Inn. There had been enough catastrophic rock slides in the gorge that fur trappers had stopped using it along their routes. But what is more, there were rumors of rock giants, of stones and boulders that lumbered along of their own volition. Liana knew these were all the telltale signs of mountain trolls. Trolls were huge, unhygienic creatures that were quite common in the West where she had grown up. There were not many of them in the Fairweather Valley, and they only went unnoticed because their bodies camouflaged so well with their surroundings. Trolls also had the unpleasant habit of crushing and eating anyone who got too close. Liana would not know their precise location until she got to the gorge. From there, she could track them by their sloppy disposal of uneaten meals and distinct piles of waste. She circled the approximate location of the gorge with a piece of charcoal. Then she folded the map and placed it neatly back into her pack. Liana peeled back the strips of cloth she had wrapped over her palms and examined the skin underneath. Fortunately, she had escaped frostbite, but there were deep cuts crisscrossing her hands. She smeared a healing salve over her hands, then used clean strips of cloth to dress the wounds. By the time she was done, she was ready to sleep. The next morning, the determined sorceress did not dawdle, and she set off after replenishing her provisions. During the night, the storm had passed, and the sun glinted off the powdered ridges. It was so blinding that Liana rearranged her scarf to create a makeshift hood. As she hiked, her legs burned, but it was nothing compared to the torturous climb she had made the previous day. A light, brisk breeze whipped up little sprays of white off the top of the mountain. As one of these breezes whisked past her, she caught a familiar, horrid smell. Her head snapped in the direction it was coming from. The trolls were that way. The path leading to the gorge was lined with bent tree trunks shoved or pushed over by heavy passerby. Snow covered most of the ground, but where the mountains parted, the ground was worn smooth. Liana's heart quickened as her hunt began in earnest. She did not have skill with a bow and arrow, nor with any other weapon. The sorceress would rely on her stealth and her magic to retrieve what the trolls had stolen. The fact of the matter was that she did not know what they had stolen, only that it was of immense importance to the sorceress sublime. All she had been told was that she would know what she was there for when she saw it. Now that she was in the narrow, rocky gorge, there was no need for her hood. The high walls let in but a weak shaft of sunlight, completely shielding her from the wind. She was treading carefully, but not too carefully, as she could tell by her nose that the trolls were not near yet. Liana kept her eyes peeled. There was a rockfall here, a stray femur bone there. She was on the right track. As she went deeper, the air became staler, and the stench of trolls grew stronger. Her scarf could now be repurposed to cover her nose and mouth. The piles of bones and rocks also became more frequent. She picked her way from hiding place to hiding place, not wanting to reveal herself to the trolls accidentally. Then, coming around a particularly large boulder, Liana happened upon a dwelling. An enormous section of the rock wall jutted out into the gorge, creating a den below it. There were three piles of animal furs arranged as beds. Three beds, three trolls. There was no sign that the giant brutes had been there within the last several hours. The ashes in the fire pit were cold, as were the fur beds. Liana knelt and felt each one to be sure. There were smaller piles of furs and discarded valuables around each of the beds. Among the items were wineskins, stray gloves, rusted arrows, broken daggers, and hunting knives. All that remained of many a weary traveler who was bold enough to ignore the rumors they had heard about this pass. Perhaps the stolen treasure was among these items? Reluctantly, Liana began sifting through the discard piles. She lifted horse saddles to reveal tattered bunched-up woolen cloaks, caps ragged and worn by their route. There were shoes of all sizes and makes. Some of the craftsmanship she recognized from either Hazeltown or Hollow Clouds as she sorted footwear into leather and wood. Many trinkets, including jewelry, were among the artifacts here, but nothing that the sorceress sublime would have interest in. She had plenty of gems of her own. On one hand, Liana felt lucky that she had arrived here while the trolls were out hunting. However, if the item was very precious, it was not likely that they left it behind. She saw two options: hide out here and wait for the trolls to return, or continue tracking and trying to catch them unawares. While she was making up her mind, she heard a grumbling voice echo across the gorge.
"Hurry up, Mo. I'm hungry."
"We ain't gonna eat it, Lars. Dem's gonna pay us for it."
A second, deeper grumble sounded.
"What's Dem's gonna pay us? We don't want no money."
"Dem's has treasure,"
the deeper grumble replied.
"What's we gonna eat, Mo?"
We got a deer back there, remember?
Not anymore.
Then came a sound like two stones clapping together. Liana thought the troll might be laughing.
You ate it?
A third furious rumble joined the first two. A loud crack of wood against stone reverberated through the air. They sounded very close now.
Oh, what's that for, Carl?
Liana cowered against the stone wall. There was nowhere to run. The other side of the pass was blocked in by a rock slide. Her eyes flitted back and forth before landing on the pile of belongings in front of the largest troll bed. There was a saddle big enough for her to hide under, and she draped an old cloak around herself as well. From her hiding spot, she spied the trolls as they lumbered into the clearing. They were walking in order of height, from tallest to shortest. The one in front and the one in back each grasped large wooden clubs that had been roughly made from uprooted pines and stripped of their branches. The one in the middle carried a large wooden box on his shoulder. The one at the back held a hand to his head, where black blood was flowing out. There was a matching bloody streak on the club of the first troll.
Puts it over there,
grumbled the tallest troll with the deepest voice. He gestured toward the large boulder wedged between the mountain and their den. The second troll shifted the box carefully from his shoulder to the ground.
Triple-check the lock this time, Mo,
instructed the tall troll. Mo, the middle troll, did a once-over of the wooden box to make sure it was secure. Liana's interest piqued. Trolls were not known to be overly careful creatures, but whatever was in the box must obviously be of value.
What's we gonna eat?
The third troll groused again. He was dabbing at his wound with one of the pelts plucked from his bed.
Lars, shut your trap!
Carl yelled, brandishing his club again.
We got some elk, too, remember?
Mo's watery black eyes lit up. He obviously hadn't remembered. Liana's legs cramped as she tried to remain still, crouched beneath the junk pile. Luckily, she had spent long enough sifting through the troll's belongings that her own scent was now muffled by theirs. She listened impatiently to the trolls arguing amongst each other as they prepared their meal. Her eyes kept flitting back to the enormous wooden chest, hoping for a clue as to the contents.
You're not doing it right,
Mo whined as Lars added a handful of salt to the pot of boiling water.
Too salty.
Mo, you don't ever want salt.
Lars reached into the large pot for more salt. Carl stopped Lars's hand midair.
No more. That's how I like it. I told you,
Mo rumbled.
Too salty.
Not salty enough,
Lars roared back.
No more,
Carl thundered. Liana rolled her eyes. These trolls were more tiresome than any she had encountered before. She decided nothing could be done until the trolls went to bed. As she was beginning to close her eyes, the towering wooden box gave a sudden shudder. The whole crate trembled, and then it jumped a little to the right. Something was stirring within. The three trolls were too busy arguing over their dinner to notice the disturbance. Liana cocked her head to the side and listened hard. There was a sound like wind rushing up against the side of the wood. Moments later, she heard it again, but more distinctly. Something was breathing in there. Whatever the trolls had was alive. Acid rose from Liana's stomach into her throat. She could feel her pulse quickening, and she cursed herself for not brewing a courage potion. Trolls were an obnoxious, stinky lot, but she had never feared them. She had enough confidence in her wits to outsmart them. She also had the lightness of foot to outspeed them. However, the unknown unnerved her. By the time the trolls finished their meal, picked the bones from their teeth, and decided to settle down for the night, Liana had devised a plan. In the junk pile she hid within, there was the hilt of a broken sword. She thought she could use that to pry the crate open. It could also double as her weapon if needed. Whatever it was sounded equine by the stomping of hooves against the wood and the forceful snorts it expelled periodically, and she hoped it would go with her willingly. Once the trolls tucked in for the night, Liana finally dared to leave her shelter. She grasped the hilt of the broken blade and crept quietly to the enormous wooden crate. She felt the grooves of the wood beneath her fingers. The being inside the crate was surprisingly quiet as she tried to discern a weakness between the planks wide enough to slip the edge of the broken blade into. As she learned the intricacies of the crate, she also learned something of the creature within it. She hadn't felt magic that strong since she had left her home west of the valley. As she traced the edge of the box with her fingers, she felt a thin sliver of wood insert itself under her fingernail. She gasped and drew her hand back in pain. A brief snort came from within the box at her gasp. Liana sucked on her wounded finger and removed the splinter. She spit out the tiny piece of wood and a bit of blood as well. The creature inside the crate thumped against the side of the box. Then came another knock against the box a few feet away from the first one. Then another. Liana sensed a tug on her conscience. Was the creature communicating with her? It was magical, after all. She suspected if it could speak plainly or telepathically, it would have attempted to contact her by now. Maybe it was gagged? The tug on her conscience was weak, so she closed her eyes and focused completely on the feeling. She let it guide her and felt distinctly that it was trying to help her. It seemed to understand what she was trying to do. A faint whinny escaped the creature, now confirmed to be equine, and she knew it was a confirmation of understanding. There was now a steady knocking coming from the corner of the box, furthest from the trolls. Liana opened her eyes again and pressed her hand against the wood where the signal was coming from.
Here.
Liana lifted the broken weapon and pushed the blade into the space between boards where the creature had indicated. It slipped in easily, and Liana prayed that the metal wouldn't snap off when she applied pressure. Tensely, she cranked the blade back and forth in a prying motion. She could hear the wood groaning as it gave. The creature inside was snorting excitedly. It was working. Her forearms were beginning to ache, as were her shoulders. A small chunk of the wood splintered off, and there was now a fist-sized hole between the planks. Liana marveled as a large, glassy eye appeared on the opposite side of the hole. A golden mist swam across the liquid black surface of the eye. The tugging at her conscience felt even stronger while gazing upon the creature.
"Stand back!"
Liana's feet moved of their own accord. She glanced briefly toward the sleeping trolls, but so far, their thunderous snoring had drowned out any sounds she or the creature had made. When she turned her gaze back to the wooden crate, her jaw dropped. A shining golden horn had emerged through the hole, and it glowed with the same misty gold that had floated in the creature's eyes. Its light was growing in strength and power. Her veins could feel the magic coursing through her, and a bright humming could be felt pulsing through the air. The wood was buckling near the hole where the horn was sticking through. The hum was now a physical vibration that was rattling her teeth and her bones. A great crack split the air as the wood of the creature's prison splintered and crumbled away in every direction. The debris fell away to reveal the beast in its full glory. Shimmering gold horn and eyes. Hooves as smooth as polished obsidian and hard as steel. Its incredible form standing at least 7 feet tall from the ground to its withers. Its coat was glossy and dark as tar. It was the fabled dusk unicorn, and it was most certainly what she had been sent here for. Basking in admiration, Liana had not noticed the absence of the troll's snoring. There was a momentary stillness between the ceasing of the horn's hum and the starting of a low growl behind her. The rumbling sound startled her, and Liana leapt into motion. Instinctively, she darted toward the unicorn and away from the growling. Although the unicorn intimidated her, she had made a connection with it and was sure it knew she was on its side.
"It's getting away!"
hollered a gravelly voice.
"Don't let it,"
one of the others added.
"Grab your clubs,"
the third said, now standing. "Get on." She couldn't have heard that right, but what had started out as a feeling was now a clear voice in her mind. Something about the crate must have been blocking the dusk unicorn's means of communication. "How?" she whispered aloud, looking up at the tall, arching neck. The unicorn bowed low in front of Liana and turned one of its glossy eyes towards her.
"Hurry!"
The trolls were closing in around them, and Liana realized she had no other choice. She swung herself up onto the legendary creature's back and gripped its sides with her legs. Before she knew it, they were off. The trolls were slow, but large enough that they were able to keep up at first. They also knew the twists and turns of the gorge better than either her or the unicorn. Rumbling up ahead told Liana that the footfalls of the trolls were causing rock spills in their path. Liana felt she was going to fall off the unicorn's back with every stride, but she held on out of sheer survival. Hooves clattered deftly against the rocky terrain. The ground itself seemed to shudder under the tremendous equestrian creature colliding with it. Powerful muscles flexed beneath Liana's body, and she felt amazed to be riding such an animal. Under different circumstances, she never would have dreamed of riding this beauty. However, there had not been much time to think. Her whole body felt different. Stronger, just being in contact with the animal. Its ancient magic was spilling out and bolstering her own. They were going so fast now, she felt like they were flying. Although Liana could still hear the trolls crashing and blundering into boulders behind them, there was more and more distance between them with every passing moment. A warm feeling was blooming within her chest and spreading. Soon, Liana realized that she could no longer feel the bite of the cold weather on her skin. Every molecule inside of her was buzzing with excitement and shivering with power. Unbidden, hot tears fell from her eyes and rippled down her cheeks. Little specks of light like stars were floating past her, and she realized in awe that those were her tears. They were glowing. "What's happening?" Liana wondered aloud.
"You are sealing your sacred power," said the dusk unicorn's voice in her head.
"I thought only the Society of Sacred Sorceresses could do that for me," Liana said.
"It was never something they could do for you. Only you can seal your own sacred power," came the reply.
"How do you know this?"
"There is a version of this process that all magical creatures go through. Some never reach their full potential and truly experience it. However, it appears that you were ready."
"What does this mean?" Liana couldn't help but ask more questions. It was all so wonderful and terrifying at the same time.
It means you'll have greater clarity with your magic. You've tapped into your potential. There will be so much more you can now do.
The Dusk Unicorn clearly had much greater knowledge of magic than Liana did. It was undoubtedly a far more powerful being than she could rightly understand. She had only been in its presence for about an hour or so, and she had already sealed her sacred powers.
"You are my mission," Liana admitted.
The unicorn did not reply as its pace slowed down. They were reaching the edge of the gorge. Liana could see the treetops past the clearing beyond.
"I still am. I do not know this place. If we are to both reach safety, I will need your help."
"Into the trees," Liana pointed. They clearly could not return to the inn. They would have to find another way down the mountain. Plus, it wasn't as though a unicorn could scale the side of the mountain as Liana had.
"There is an old fur trapper's route that people don't use anymore. It is still troll territory, but we should be able to get through." "They will continue to pursue us. But as long as we keep moving, they will not catch up. Soon enough, they will have to admit defeat and call upon their master," the unicorn said.
"Their master?" Liana asked incredulously.
"Those trolls weren't clever enough to capture me on their own. Their master was the one who gave them that enchanted crate. It was designed specifically for me. They had been able to track me, but they were no match for me on their own. The sorceress Sublime has been hunting me for some time. I thought I would be safe in this magicless place, but I think it only made it easier for her to sense me. There was some conflicting magical activity with the rise of a wood witch in the south, but I felt her magic leave this realm, and I knew the Sublime One would be coming for me."
Liana was beginning to feel the initial surge of adrenaline and power she had felt wear off. However, there was still a sensation of strength that remained in her. Liana loosened her grip on the Dusk Unicorn's dark, silky mane. Her mouth suddenly felt parched, and she had to clear her throat before she could speak again. "The Sorceress Sublime expects me to deliver you to her," Liana said.
"I know it. And I know who you are, Liana. You are her blood and bone. All the same, I am not one to leave an innocent person behind to be eaten by trolls."
"I'm hardly innocent if I'm working for your captor," Liana pointed out.
"You saved my life, so I saved yours. Now that you have sealed your sacred powers, you do not need to return to her, and I have a feeling that you will not."
Liana was quiet for a time. She needed to think. How did she know that she had really completed her sojourn? Mother had said that the society would need to confer the rank of sacred sorceress upon her once she had returned. Yet the unicorn told her that her journey was already complete. And Liana felt with every fiber of her being that it was true. "My mother told me stories about you when I was a girl," Liana mused. "They were my favorite stories. They were her favorite, too. It wasn't until I was older that I learned the stories were based on a real being."
"And what did your mother tell you about me?"
the Dusk Unicorn ventured. "That a brew made of your blood could grant eternal life." Liana felt a shiver at the thought of her mother having the power to live forever.
"It is so. It is why she hunts me."
"She also said," Liana shuddered again before continuing, "that you can bring people back from the dead."
"My power to grant eternal life can be applied to anything now living or that once lived. Their lifeline can be restored and continued as though there had never been an interruption. Necromancy. Surely her mother would never allow it. Yet, Jennifer the Jade had never been the same since her lover had died. The man she had taken as her own after Liana's father had passed away. Her mother had grown colder and colder ever since. So perhaps it was not out of the question. "What do I call you?" Liana asked the unicorn. "Some call me the Dusk Unicorn, but you may know my name. It is Nocturna." "Nocturna," Liana began, turning the name over in her mouth. "I agree not to deliver you to my mother. In fact, I will hide you from her. We must take you to some place where no one will ever find you, somewhere that no one in their right mind would ever want to go. It pleases me that you will not take me to your mother. I have no doubt that she intended to use my blood for her own designs," Nocturna replied. "Where will we go?" "How do you feel about mushrooms? I know a place remote enough where no one is likely to find you, and I think I know someone brave enough who might be willing to be your guard." There was no helping it. There was only one place in the Fairweather Valley that she could hide Nocturna away from prying eyes. And there was only one man she knew of who would be willing to help her. They were heading for the Hottentot Woods, and she would need Tori Darkbow to help her. I hope you enjoyed listening to Lavender Locks and the Three Trolls by Alex Stubblefield, narrated by Corinne Norton. If you want to read more by Alex, you'll want to check out the What's in a Name anthology series. This particular story is from Third Name's a Charm, but she has connected stories in Once Upon a Name and Twice Upon a Name as well. Each anthology has the proceeds go to different charities, and Third Name's a Charm benefits the literacy charities Room to Read and Book Aid International. I'll have a direct link for the series in the show notes. Don't forget about this month's giveaway featuring 4 Dragon audiobooks and a 3-month Audible membership. Go to findingfantasyreads.com/giveaway to enter. The best way to stay up to date with all the podcast news is by signing up for the Finding Fantasy Reads newsletter. Each week you'll get an email letting you know what episode has been added, but I also include links to deals on audiobooks, new releases, and freebies from our featured authors. You can sign up by going to findingfantasyreads.com/newsletter or by clicking on the direct link in the show notes. As always, thank you all for listening and happy reading.